everybody. Bill Buckmaster raring to go on this Thursday. We are off and running Thursday, April 11th, 2024. Tom Fairbanks, if we hit 90 today, it will be a little bit later than usual. The average 90-degree temperature at the Tucson International Airport is April 8th, and today is the 11th, and it's kind of marginal whether we'll hit 90, and if we don't hit 90 today, well, we've got cooler weather coming, so we'll push that average start date back.
It can wait as long as it wants to, as far as I'm concerned.
Could we wait to July?
Fine with me.
Okie dokie, Buckmaster, in our 14th year. I've been doing the radio show now 13 full years, and then we launched into year 14 in January, coming to you from the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. They have the naming rights. We're glad they do to our studio, which is part of the Bustos Media growing presence in Tucson. Five radio stations under one roof. This one's 1030 KVOI. VOI for The Voice, Tucson's only source for live local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening and all of our podcasts at buckmastershow.com, our live line for our telephone interviews, and we'll be doing our two major interviews telephonically today. That's presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's begin the show with Rex Scott. He is a Democrat. He represents the 1st Supervisorial District in Pima County. On the five-member board, Supervisor Rex Scott with us on the live line. Supervisor, how are you?
Bill, doing great, and really appreciate this monthly opportunity to be with you, Tom, and your listeners.
As you know, we had a wide-ranging interview with the administrator for Pima County, Jan Lesher. Ms. Lesher was questioned by myself and Caitlin Schmidt from the Tucson Agenda. We covered a lot, but one thing that we didn't get to is what happens to this opioid settlement money? How is Pima County going to be using that, Supervisor Scott?
Well, Bill, we have already received as part of the one Arizona agreement, which is the agreement that governs how all local governments are supposed to use their opioid settlement funds, over $16 million. But we have not expended much of that money. Really, we've expended less than, or I should say budgeted less than $4 million of it. And one of the reasons for the holdup is that not only does the county get some of those funds, but so does the city of Tucson. And Ms. Lesher and her team have been negotiating an intergovernmental agreement with Mr. Ortega and his team with the city of Tucson. And getting that intergovernmental agreement in place has been a topic of discussion between the two governments for over a year. The city gets close to $4 million in the settlement, and we are wanting to work in partnership with them through this intergovernmental agreement to target some of the areas of the county where opioid use and addiction are big issues, and that's within the city of Tucson, not exclusively, but a lot of those areas are within the city. So the negotiation of that IGA had held things up a bit. We also heard in the update that I requested from county administration about the creation of a new division within the health department, the Division of Community Mental Health Addiction and Industry Injury. And this division is going to help the department not only to deal with how to get opioid settlement funds out into our community, but also oversee the implementation of grants. And they've got at least five of them from the federal and state governments that also help to address issues of substance abuse and addiction. And I was listening to a podcast from Arizona Public Media over the weekend, and really the fact that we have not gotten as much of these funds into the community as you would perhaps have thought is pretty typical of Arizona's 15 counties and also typical of the Arizona Attorney General's office, the counties and the AG, which is the frontline agency with the state's funds from the opioid settlement, are still trying to figure out the best uses for these funds in terms of taking on addiction and substance abuse.
Would any of this money go to try to stem the problem with this fentanyl drug?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes, that would be a top-of-line concern. And not only in terms of dealing with existing abusers and distributors of fentanyl, but also making sure that we are educating our young people on the dangers of fentanyl, especially when it can be laced into other substances and sometimes even legal substances, and they may not know they're ingesting it.
Mm. Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott with us on our live line. Yesterday on the live line, we brought in the mayor of Oro Valley, Joe Winfield, joined us, and I was interested to find out his take on the RTA next. And of course, Mayor Winfield, Rex Scott, has a seat at the table at the 9-member Regional Transportation Authority governing directors, and of course you represent Pima County. Mayor Winfield really hopes something gets done on this.
Well, I share his concern, and got a chance to see Mayor Winfield on Saturday because the town was celebrating its 50th anniversary, and they
yes.
had a terrific parade, mm-hmm. and all of Oro Valley is within my district. And both of us, along with the other 7 members of the RTA board, are committed to resolving whatever remaining concerns and differences that we may have, and getting an RTA next plan out for public review sometime in the middle of May. And we have 2 more meetings before then, and I know that there are still issues that are causing us to not reach consensus, but I'm confident that we'll get there. You know, the way our region has grown and developed, we are extraordinarily intertwined in terms of where we work, live, shop, play, and we can't fail to act regionally with regard to having an RTA next plan to cover the next 20-year period. And the people who are going to be most affected negatively if we fail in that task are going to be the 34% of Pima County who live in the unincorporated portions of the county. And I am their voice on the RTA board, and I want to make sure that their interests are advanced and protected. The cities and towns could move forward with their own sales taxes to support transportation efforts if they chose to, but under state law it requires a unanimous vote of the Board of Supervisors for us to do the same, and that's extraordinarily unlikely to happen for a whole host of reasons. But more importantly than that, Bill, just the way our region is so so interrelated in terms of everything that we do. You know, I was talking with a constituent of mine who lives in Oro Valley and works in Tucson. And he drives through Oro Valley, through the unincorporated county, into Tucson every day. And he's not thinking about when he's in Oro Valley, when he's in the unincorporated county, when he's in the city. He's just wanting all of us to work together, not only on our roadway networks, but also our public transportation, pedestrian, and bicycle endeavors, and the only way to do that effectively is regionally, especially since there's not going to be any state or federal funding coming into this region for anything other than maintenance.
Rex Scott with this Pima County Supervisor. Rex, stay on the line. We will take our break and be back to you. But before we do take the break, I want to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. Mona's now has the added enhancement. They've applied for a liquor license. It was granted by Pima County, and it is being utilized up at Mona's Danish Bakery, which is home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. We talk a lot about the breakfasts at Mona's. They are outstanding, but you know the lunches are great as well. The sandwich selection is just outstanding. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is the website. Go to the website, pretty much see everything on the menu with beautiful color pictures, and then you'll be ready when you walk in. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. More with Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott. It's the Buckmaster Show on a Thursday. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. There's still a crisis going on at Pima County Animal Care. My friend Monica Dangler is the director over there, and I wanted to make this announcement for her. They really need your help in saving dogs' lives today. All dog and puppy adoptions are free. Think about fostering for a little bit, maybe this weekend. And the reclaim fees are waived in most cases. By the way, the number one thing you should have on your animal is a collar and visible ID on your pet at all times. And if you live in Pima County, get a free tag at Pima Animal Care Center anytime during business hours. Rex Scott is Pima County Supervisor representing District 1. And Rex, you know how much I love animals, and we're just trying to get the population down a little bit. The dogs just seem to keep pouring into Pima Animal Care.
They do, and it is not hyperbolic to say that the Animal Care Center is really in crisis mode right now. And anybody in the community who not only wants to help alleviate that situation, but also have a wonderful pet in their home, I encourage them to look into either adopting or fostering a cat or dog.
Rex Scott is on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Jeff has called. Jeff is on line number two, and he has a question for Supervisor Scott. Go ahead, Jeff.
Thank you, and good afternoon, gentlemen. I'll start with a question, and then I'll give a couple examples to illustrate what I'm talking about. The question is, how would some of these projects get done if it were not approached from a regional standpoint? And I'll give you two examples. Both have been done. Valencia all the way from Houghton, but the part that was really bad was down there between the freeway, well, between I-10 and I-19, I-17, I forget which it is. And it was so bad. I actually didn't drive it. I took the loop around the freeway, went north, and then took the I-19 cutoff south to get to Valencia and, say, Mission Road, whatever. And then the second project is the Ruthroth Interchange, which I believe has been done for more or less a year now. But that had to involve the Union Pacific, the state, the county. I don't know if the city actually had anything to do with that interchange, but certainly the city reaped the benefits. Everybody on the northwest side has been held up at that intersection or that interchange many, many times. And now you're not. Now you forget how bad it was because, you know, once the problem's gone, you forget all about it. But my question is, Valencia, I believe, I was told involved somewhere between 5 and 7 different authorities, the county, the Air Force Base, the state, let me take a minute, the reservations, and a couple more that I'm forgetting, just to get that project done. To have any one of those try to do it by themselves would have really been an impossibility, pretty much, and especially the city of Tucson. It was so bad. That's another story.
Okay. All right. Good points that Jeff brings up. Go ahead, Supervisor Scott.
You know, I really appreciate Jeff's call because he testifies to how interconnected all of us are in this region, the five cities and towns, the state, the county, the Pascua-Yaqui tribe, the Tohono O'odham Nation, as he mentioned, sometimes even the military with regard to Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. And we absolutely have to think and act regionally. Certainly there are things that each jurisdiction is responsible for in and of itself. The county is responsible for over 2,200 miles of roadway within the unincorporated county. But there are projects, some of which Jeff mentioned, that cross jurisdictional lines that benefit the entire region. Some of them involve work with the state, like the Ruthroth interchange that he referred to. But every RTA project in the current plan that was passed by voters in 2006 and every RTA project that we're looking at for the plan for the next 20-year period has regional significance and importance. And without that plan, a lot of those projects are either not going to be done or they're going to be done in a piecemeal way just within the boundaries of a certain jurisdiction.
Again, thank you. Jeff brought up some very good points about our discussion about RTA next. Let's go on to the budget process. A lot of people are wondering, is Pima County going to be having some budget difficulties? And I think the answer is yes to that, Rex Scott.
We are definitely going to be in a challenging period. And the county administrator did a presentation to the board at our last meeting, giving us a preview of what we can expect when she submits the recommended budget to us later this month. She is going to be asking each department that is headed up by an appointed department head to make a 3% cut to their budgets. And she's going to ask each elected official, because we approve the budgets for all of the elected officials such as the sheriff, the county attorney, the assessor, recorder, so on, to make 1% cuts. And she's also saying that she is going to recommend that the overall tax rate, which is the combination of the primary property tax rate and the three secondary taxes that we charge, stay the same. And I think those are all very appropriate recommendations, because before we go to the taxpayers of Pima County and ask them to kick even more into the kitty, we ought to make sure that we're doing everything we can to keep our own house in order. And if the county administrator is indicating that our departments can take a 3% or a 1% cut, I trust that recommendation based on her oversight of all of those departments. I also want to point out, Bill, that whenever I have a town hall or any public event, I always say that our responsibility is to make sure that everything that the over 1.1 million people in Pima County depend upon from the county is delivered with attention to constituent needs, attention to equity, and respect for the public tax dollars entrusted to us. As just another example, at any given time, we have over 900 to 1,000 vacant positions. These are budgeted positions for the most part, and that has been the case not only under our board but under previous boards. And we are continuing to discuss and debate a policy that will hopefully finally get a handle on that inordinate number of vacant positions. So I really think it's important that we do everything we can to get our own fiscal house in order before we consider going to the taxpayers for any additional from them. We also have to take into account that it's not just the overall tax rate, it's also the increased amount of the net assessed value of all the properties in Pima County that affects what people pay on their property tax bills.
Quickly, I want to talk about Beth Ford. She has retired, the longtime sure. Pima County treasurer. There are two candidates, and the forum for those candidates is tonight, correct?
It is.
Could you talk a little bit about the process to put a new treasurer in there?
Well, Bill, I have already interviewed both of the applicants, Mr. Ackerley and Ms. Davidson, and we also are having the forum because not only is this an opportunity for the public to hear from them, but it's also an opportunity for the board and the public and the media to contrast the two applicants in a public forum. We're going to then on Tuesday at our second meeting in April decide which of these folks is best qualified to fill out the remainder of Ms. Ford's term. And I think they both, in the interviews with me, and I'm sure tonight in the forum, have made strong cases for why they should fill out the remainder of the treasurer's term. And I'm going to make my decision along with the other four supervisors, and we'll see who gets the appointment on Tuesday morning.
And these are appointments that you've made before, not necessarily for the treasurer's office, but there have been other vacancies. This is part of the job as being a Pima County supervisor.
It is. Counties are subdivisions of the state under Arizona state law, and boards of supervisors are responsible for appointing people to fill out legislative vacancies and certainly to fill out vacancies for any county office. And we've done that for the District 3 supervisor position. We've done that for constable positions. And we've also done that for numerous members of the Arizona State House and State Senate whose districts are within Pima County. And I think it's always important that each supervisor meet one-on-one with every applicant, and that we have some public means of hearing from these applicants as well.
All right, let's see if we can work in Harriet's question on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Harriet, you've got about a minute. Go ahead, please.
Okay, I have one question. Mm-hmm. Are there ever any plans to make some kind of a highway or freeway that connects the southeast corner of Tucson to the northwest corner, or the southwest corner to the northeast corner.
Okay. What about freeways, Rex Scott?
You know, I have never heard any kind of proposal like that being discussed either at the regional level or from the State Department of Transportation, at least during my term in office.
We are the largest city, I believe, in the United States without a freeway. I mean, not counting the interstate, which we refer to as the freeway, but we don't really have a kind of a crosstown freeway. It's just not been.
No, I know there was a proposal, and this predates my time in Pima County. I moved here in 1991. I know there was a proposal that would have incorporated sections of River Road and,
yes,
and even the Rialto River. Yeah. For a crosstown freeway, and it was a very unpopular proposal from what I'm told.
Well, I was here, and I can testify it was a very, very, very unpopular proposal. All right, Rex Scott, thank you very much taking some time out of your very busy day to talk with us. Appreciate it.
I've always enjoyed my monthly visits with you and your listeners, Bill. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott. It's the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition. Tomorrow, State Senator Ken Bennett. Very apropos to be talking about this week at the legislature. Things have gotten kind of wild. We'll be talking to Senator Bennett tomorrow on our Friday Focus interview, but right now, a break.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We love green things. Perfect time of year. It's spring. Great time to get out and do some gardening. Green Things has everything you could imagine for your garden. 3384 East River Road. Their website, greenthingsaz.com. They're open daily. They're in their 53rd year of business. And when you're there, visit Zocalo Village. Zocalo Village, five shops that encompass Zocalo Village, some incredible merchandise imported from all over the world. And then there's the pottery for all your plants, and on it goes. It is a destination in itself, Green Things. Our live line for our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to the superintendent of the Tucson Unified School District, Superintendent Gabriel Trujillo. Dr. Trujillo, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, Bill. A little bit under the weather, but nonetheless, very well.
Yeah, I heard you were not feeling your best. Was it a cold that hit you, or what?
Yeah, a pretty strong cold hit me. I've learned as a new parent that just about everything my daughter gets, I'm also destined to get as well. So, learning that lesson the hard way.
Let's talk a little bit about an item that's currently in the news about maternity leave. Some teachers would like a paid maternity leave. What is Tucson Unified's policy right now when it comes to maternity leave for employees?
Well, like most school districts, pretty much every school district, we really don't have much. Paternity leave, whether it's maternity leave or paternity, that leave is obviously regulated by the federal government through the Family Emergency Medical Leave Act. So every employee is entitled to at least 12 weeks of leave per the FMLA, as it's called, Act. The problem with that is it's all non-paid leave. Unless the employee is willing to drain out any accrued sick or personal time. The challenge with that is the majority of our workforce, obviously our teacher workforce, we know the struggles with teacher compensation. Most of our teachers who find themselves in this situation don't have enough personal days to cover 12 weeks, to get 12 weeks of income. So they end up taking unpaid leave. And of course, that's what creates a financial hardship and the pressure to return to work. And so I think what the group of teachers and the group of employees is seeking is for the district to take actions to provide at least 12 weeks of paid leave for employees for reasons of maternity or paternity.
So did you say that most districts do not offer the paid maternity leave?
Most districts do not. No, most districts are standard in terms of doing what the federal guidelines require, what the law requires, is that we offer at least 12 weeks of time off unpaid, essentially just protects the employee's job for a period of 12 weeks. And if said employee has personal time or sick time, they can take those days to generate some kind of an income. As I stated, most of our employees don't have 12 weeks of bank sick time to receive compensation during this 12-week period. So most of the time ends up being non-paid, and that's where the financial hardship comes in.
Will this be brought up again by the board?
Yes, it will. We certainly have prioritized this issue. This issue hits very closely to home. I was a new father last year. My daughter just celebrating a year, and we were blessed in terms of my wife being able to stay home, but I took some paternity leave under the Family Medical Emergency Leave Act leave time that was provided. I was not interested, Bill, in draining out all of my accrued sick days. So I can tell you, I hurried up to come back to work because for the same reason that the employee stated, I didn't want to go on zero pay status, and I also didn't want to drain out all of my accrued sick. So I did feel firsthand what the employees were talking about. So I do think that it is From a moral point of view, I think it is definitely a priority for us. First and foremost, the right thing to do from a workforce that is predominantly comprised of parents, whether single parent households or double parent households, the overwhelming majority of TUSD employees are parents and have experienced this issue or will at some point in the future. I think from a more operational standpoint, I think it's also a great way to treat our employees in terms of a retention strategy. Being an organization that values this time in a person's life and understands compassionately the need for employees to step away as they become new parents. So I think it's on both fronts. I think it's something that we want to prioritize doing. Now, given the district's financial situation, yes, we did win a bond, but of course, bond dollars are targeted in the areas that have been approved by the electorate. And certainly these bond dollars would not qualify to be spent in this area. So we're going to have to look at a couple of different models for paid leave. It may not be the full 12 weeks as the employees are asking for, but we're going to look at our budget and can we at least afford to do something like 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks? We're going to run numbers on all different kinds of models to see what our board would be most amenable to and what would fit within the confines of our financial limitations.
Because you probably don't have those numbers yet on what this would cost. And it would depend on whether it was full 12 weeks, 10. It's going to vary, of course.
It would. And so I think what's important to understand for the public, obviously it's the public that will be funding this as our taxpayers, is when you're providing the paid leave to teachers, not necessarily, because this would be for all of our employees, when you're providing the paid leave to teachers, you're actually doubling the cost because not only do you need to cover the daily rate of pay for the teacher, you also have to pay the substitute that's going to be in the classroom. So for example, using the average daily rate of pay for teachers, which right now is about $175, you would not only have to pay the $175 in paid leave on a daily basis, you also have to pay our sub rate, which is around $150 a day for long-term work. So it would be double the cost, so we've got to run those numbers. Now, you wouldn't be in that situation with subs for the other employee positions, like bus drivers, counselors, our administrators. So there's a lot of moving parts in terms of putting together the financial estimate, but we certainly want to make sure that our board and the public has all the financial information that we do so we present it publicly before asking our board to take action.
What's the latest on saving counselors within Tucson Unified?
Well, thanks to our board, we were able to take action at the March 23rd meeting that all of these counselors that are currently funded by these COVID-era dollars, these ESSER dollars that are set to sunset at the end of this school year, our board did take action to fund them. And so we're looking at some central office administrative cuts to be able to generate the necessary budget capacity to absorb the cost of the counselors and social workers that otherwise would have been cut. And so I know that those counselors and social workers are very excited to be remaining with us and continuing that work in our schools.
Would this mean possibly some cuts in assistant principal jobs?
The assistant principal jobs are safe for
okay.
this year. So we decided that we were going to cut as far away from the school and the classroom as possible. So we're looking at the central office, even my office, the superintendent's office on down through all offices in the district office. We're cutting travel budgets. We're cutting supply budgets. Open positions, if we have them, we're cutting those. We're cutting budgets for professional development and all the areas that are operational in nature. So that we can generate the additional budget capacity that we need to fund these counselors.
All right, let's pause right here. More with Superintendent Trujillo after we take our break on the Buckmaster Show. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. We love Silver City. It's a great getaway. We send so many of our listeners over there. It's only about a three-hour drive, and pretty soon it's going to be hot in Tucson. We can say that with quite a bit of assurance. And it will be cooler. We start talking about the 10-degree difference. That's going to be coming, of course. It is cooler in Silver City because of their mile-high elevation, but we can get into that in the coming weeks. For the time being, it's a easy way to find out more about your visit over there by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Let's continue our conversation on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, the superintendent of the Tucson Unified School District, is recovering from a very nasty cold, and he's with us on the live line rather than being in studio. And our scheduling, I was just looking at this. It's going to be a while. It'll be early June before we bring you back. I'll be traveling quite a bit in May, and so we're not going to have you back until the first week of June. So let's talk about summary. What will this year be remembered for at Tucson Unified? Perhaps the improvement in the letter grades for the schools?
I think two things. I think number one, the improvement in the letter grades, actually before that, a historic victory in the capital bond effort. The first bond victory for the Tucson Unified School District in over a generation, the largest in its history, really signaled a renewed faith and trust in the direction of the district. Not that we don't have work to do, not that there's still a lot of work to be done in terms of reading and math scores and safety and security, but the community really looking at the district and saying things are going in the right direction. We trust the work that they're doing. I think right behind that, Bill, you nailed it. I think it is the significant improvement in our school letter grades in terms of the dramatic amount of improvement that we've seen in student growth in grade levels and students making up ground in both reading and math. We're still struggling with proficiency. We know that student growth and the percentage of students passing the actual test, those are two different metrics, and TUSD ranks very high amongst one of the best districts in the state in terms of improving students. Getting students that are behind several grade levels at the beginning of the year and actually moving them up by several grade levels by the end of the year, there's a lot of weight in the school letter grade that is given to that growth model. And that's what TUSD does very, very well. And we're excited about that because that's translated into actually for the first time in a good 10, 15 years, zero F schools in the district. We are down to 6 D schools. And that is a historic turnaround from where we were in 2016 when there were 27 D and F schools across the district. So still a lot of work to be done, but I think those are probably the two biggest achievements that will mark the 23-24 school year.
Is there a bond committee that's overseeing this whole, how the funds will be dispensed?
That's a great segue, Bill. We did for the governing board took action to form a citizens oversight committee, a bond oversight committee. They approved of the membership. There are 13 wonderful representatives from the community representing all kinds of different personal, ethnic, and professional backgrounds that are meeting. And they had their first meeting week, I guess it was like the last week of March. Their next meeting is on April 18th. They're set to approve a charter for their work, and they will be reviewing the first scope of bond projects at its April 18th meeting. Those meetings are open to the public. It is a governing board appointed committee, so the meetings are live streamed. We do publish minutes, just like we do for a governing board meeting. And the administration will be looking for approval for its first 18 bond projects, which will be the complete replacement of antiquated and failing heating and cooling systems in 18 schools, just in time for the hot season. So we're definitely looking forward to that meeting on the 18th.
Now, looking back through my notes about Tucson Unified, and I do have a file I try to keep as extensive as possible for our regular visits, was this the first school year where there was full control at Tucson Unified on the DSEG situation?
Yes, this was the actual first full school year where the board is now truly in full control as the sole governing entity of the Tucson Unified School District. And I just see what's been a little bit of a struggle is the absence of very structured protocol, very structured requirements and processes that we had to follow under court supervision, so especially with budget development, which mandated usually budget forums with the plaintiff's representatives and the special master overseeing the case. It required very strict deadlines for which the parties had to review the other party's proposals, offer comment, offer objections, offer concerns, and very hard and fast deadlines for the court to rule. And I think it's the absence of all of those structures that have now created the sense that, hey, the community does need to know a little bit more about what we're doing with the DSEG budget. And that to me has been the big learning this year, that we now as a district probably do need to create more of those structures now that the court is not making us so that the public is a little bit more in tune with the composition of the desegregation budget and what we're allowed to do with desegregation money, which I think is another area that I think the public struggles with. Most recently, the decision the board made on Tuesday night to use desegregation dollars to pay for some of these ESSER-funded reading and math intervention positions that have just been doing amazing work in the classroom. And the public not understanding that these reading and math intervention teachers, they're doing work that qualifies as a desegregation expenditure. So it's not that we're moving desegregation dollars into the regular district budget. It's the opposite. We're actually moving money into the desegregation budget to pay for a new initiative. Mm-hmm. These are the types of things that I think we need to do a better job explaining to the public and educating them a little bit more. So that's going to be a goal of mine in the administration's this budget development season and moving forward.
It's very complicated, and the public really doesn't understand it. But this is the first time in almost 50 years that the district has not been operating under the desegregation provisions.
That's true. And I know that, you know, I've certainly read some of the commentary from some of the pro desegregation advocates that this is not a slap to them. This is an acknowledgement. They have a different vision for the district. They believe that the district functions better under court supervision. And they believe that only under court supervision can the district as an institution be fully inclusive of African-American, Latino, Native American students and other students that have been traditionally marginalized. I don't share that vision. And I've often been described as anti-DSEG. And I've never been anti-DSEG programming. I've always been anti-court supervision, and I'll continue to be anti-court supervision because I do believe that local governance should always be the priority for school districts. We have governing board members that have been duly elected by this community. They're parents, they're small business owners, and I believe that governance should be in their hands. And that's just always going to be a philosophical divide between myself and our plaintiff representatives and those in the community that champion court supervision.
In the remaining minute, graduation ceremonies will go on as normal this year?
We have a full slate of graduation ceremonies going on as normal. We are looking forward to a rich graduation season. We're going to be celebrating a senior class of 2024 that has garnered millions and millions of dollars in scholarships in renowned and recognized universities across the nation. We have some wonderful student performers that will be highlighted at some of our ceremonies. And we will be taking some basic safety and security precautions, obviously, in this age of heightened awareness about safety and security. So we'll be working with our parents and our community members to strike that balance between making sure that the event is welcoming, the event is safe and secure, but without making it feel like we're going into a prison-like experience where we're frisking everybody and everybody's being searched.
Prison locked up.
I've made it clear. Yeah, I've made it clear we do not want that, okay, on one of the most beautiful days of the year for families and parents. So we're going to be working on striking that balance.
All right. Dr. Trujillo, take care of yourself. We'll talk down the road. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill. You have a great rest of the day, and we'll see you soon.
Okay, thank you very much. On behalf of Dr. Trujillo and Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show, Bill Buckmaster, all I can say is wishing everyone well.